Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Death is no stranger to us. We've often watched this grim reaper come into our homes and snatch some loved one away. And we know what a trail of sorrow that death can leave and what pain it brings to our hearts. Yet we must realize that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9, verse 27. Death comes every day to someone, and death comes someday to everyone. So in view of the fact that we so often visit the funeral home to pay our respects to the dead, in view of the fact that it's appointed unto men once to die, what should be our attitude toward death? We must realize that death came into this world because of sin. We learn that in Romans 5, verse 12. We learn also that the sting of death is sin, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. That when God made man, he placed him in the Garden of Eden, and he charged man with the responsibility of keeping it and dressing it. We read in Genesis 2, verse 16 and verse 17, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Well, when man ate of that forbidden fruit, God said to him, "For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Genesis 3, verse 19. Sin, therefore, was the cause of death. But when God said, "For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return," he was not speaking of the soul, but of the body. When death comes, we're told, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. So death is the separation of the spirit from the body. James informs us, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." James 2, verse 26. Now, it isn't all of life to live, and it isn't all of death to die. Death is not an ending of it all, for there is something beyond the grave. Now, it's true, the body dies and it goes back to the dust. Yet the soul continues to live on and on throughout eternity. Remember, we notice Hebrews 9, verse 27, "After death there will be a judgment." Some fear death because they fear the judgment that will follow death. And some are ashamed to live, but they are afraid to die. Our Lord said in John 5, verse 28 and verse 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which they that are in their grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And long ago it was God's servant Job that asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14, verse 14. And later, Jesus answered that question when he said to Mary and Martha, and also speaks to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11, verse 25. It is true that all that are in their graves will one day come forth. There will be a resurrection. Death does not end at all. Some will be resurrected unto condemnation, and others will be resurrected unto life eternal. And the reason that many fear death is that they're afraid that in that resurrection morning, it will be for them the resurrection of condemnation. Unless a man believes and receives Christ, he has every right to be afraid of the resurrection. Because the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And yet one day, all of us are going to be in his hands. And while it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, it's even more fearful to fall in the hands of the living God and not be prepared to live with him. Well, should we then fear death? When the Lord said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, he was speaking about those who were not ready to die. He was speaking about those who had not made preparation in this life to live eternally with him. And in the preceding verse he said, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." Now in the resurrection, vengeance will be meted out to those who know not God and those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. We learn in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How appropriate are those questions and those statements there in Hebrews 2, verse 1 through verse 3. Indeed, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friends, there is no escape. And for that reason, it will be a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God for those who are disobedient. In Matthew 16, verse 27, our Lord said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works." But on the other hand, the Bible says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. The righteous hath hope in his death." Proverbs 14, verse 32. So while death has its sting, and the very thought of it will frighten the hearts of many, the righteous man need not be afraid. He has a different view of death. He can see in death a great victory. He can fearlessly say to death, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, death does have its sting, but the real sting of death is sin. And through Christ, we can be made free from sin so that we may say, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. The psalmist informs us in Psalms 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, this is the Lord's view of death, and this can be our view of death, and this can be the death of a saint if we indeed are the saints of God. But how can the death of a saint be precious in the sight of the Lord? Why would he regard it as such? It's because he can see the victory that lies beyond the grave. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And if a man could only realize how great are the things which God has prepared for those that love him, he would view death as something indeed that is precious. Jesus said in John 12, verse 24, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And he further said in John 14, verse 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But friend, for a man to occupy one of the mansions God has prepared for him, he must first make the exit from this world. Death is that exit. In death, the door to this world is closed, but the door to the next world is open. Death then can be indeed precious when we anticipate the entrance into that grand and glorious world that lies beyond. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 down through verse 54, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory." And in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Well, when the saint realizes that in death, mortality shall put on immortality, and when he realizes that his vile body will be fashioned like unto the glorious body of Christ, and when he realizes that death will be swallowed up in victory, then he will no longer fear death, but will look upon it as something indeed that is precious, just as the Bible states. We read further this time in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 down through verse 3. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. With such a view of death, no wonder Paul could say, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. To Paul, life meant one thing, to live for Christ. His whole life was centered around Christ. If life meant Christ to Paul, then what did death mean to him? And in what way did he regard death? To the Colossians he gave the answer. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 4. So Paul had a desire to depart and be with Christ, for he considered that to be far better than anything earth could offer. Had Christ not been in Paul's life, there would have been no gain in his death. And there can be no gain in any man's death if Christ has been absent from that man's life. Thus blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. And with his whole life centered around Christ, the great Apostle Paul could say when he came to the end, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through verse 8. My friend, how do you view death? Can you look upon death as something that is precious? Knowing it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, have you conformed your life to his will, so that your resurrection will be a resurrection unto life, and not one of condemnation? I pray that it will be. I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.